And now another episode of Things Dumb Guys Think.
Matt, have you taken the kids to see the new Snoopy movie yet?
Not yet. No, we'd like to see it though. It looks good.
Well, now I'm going to tell you, I wasn't impressed. For one thing, you know, the director there is Sam Mendes, I think is his name. And why
sure.
he went with a live action format. And I'm thinking Snoopy has always been a cartoon format. So I found that really hard to swallow that it was a live action film. And then why in the world he cast Daniel Craig in the part of Charlie Brown? It makes no sense to me. I couldn't understand the plot. I think he was trying to do an homage to that time in the Peanuts cartoon where Snoopy was the fought the Red Baron. He was a World War
ace. Remember that one down in his doghouse?
Yeah. Because apparently he was trying to do something like that with Charlie Brown. Because Charlie Brown in the movie is like some kind of super spy. He's going around shooting people and blowing people up. And the thing that I didn't understand about the whole plot line is that apparently Schroeder was trying to play, by the way, by Christoph Waltz, who's a great actor. I don't know his name. But why would Schroeder be trying to kill Charlie Brown?
No, wait a second.
Okay. That just made no sense to me.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, so it wasn't animated.
No, it was a live action.
Okay, live action. Yeah. And was Charlie Brown bald in this or not?
Kind of. He was kind of bald.
Because what you're describing sounds an awful lot like the new James Bond movie, not the Peanuts movie.
Well, no, I know it was a Peanuts movie. Look, I got the ticket. I got the ticket stub right here.
Okay,
see,
okay.
Right there. Doesn't it say? Oh, yeah, it says the Peanuts movie, but look, I had it turned upside down. I was supposed to go into theater number 6, and we went into theater number 9. Oh, geez.
Oh, boy. You know, John, sometimes I think your popcorn isn't fully popped, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do like a nice bag of popcorn at the movies. And dude, thanks for setting me straight about the movie. Although I did want to say that Ralph Fiennes, he did a great job as Linus.
John, let's just start the show now.
We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, Matt, where are we at?
Well,
there we are.
All right. There we go.
Yes.
So you enjoyed a movie.
I did.
Not quite sure which one it is. Oh, boy.
Well, now that I know it was the James Bond movie, actually it was pretty decent. But as the Peanuts movie, no, it just was horrible.
This was not what Charles Schulz originally intended.
No, I didn't. I couldn't understand that at all. We are here with, should we say it together?
Sure.
Wrestling with the basics. And you are?
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And you're going to tell us something wonderful about living there in South St. Louis? And
we are counting down the days until Christmas because where we're at, the St. Louis Hills neighborhood, it is the place to see the Christmas lights. So when it gets closer to Christmas, you know, pile the kids in the station wagon, bring them on over to our neck of the woods.
You know, I did not know that was a good place to go to see lights.
It is a destination to see the Christmas lights. Yes, we have a couple of the streets in the neighborhood changed their names even for the occasion.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, so Murdoch Avenue becomes Candy Cane Lane. Another, I think it's Nottingham, I forget which street, becomes Snowflake Street. So it's all out. It's a Christmas.
If we came over, could we meet you guys and go out to Ted Drew's for ice cream?
You know, any excuse to go to Ted Drew's, I am up for. So yes, most definitely.
Okay.
You can drive through, you can walk through. It's a ton of fun.
And we'll meet you. And seriously, I did not know that was a good neighborhood to go.
It is the neighborhood.
Remind me, we don't want to do it today because we've done enough goofiness as it is, but to tell you my Christmas light story sometime in the future as we move into December, because we went over to Tillis Park, which also has
beautiful lights.
And then also, have you ever been to the Shrine? I'm sure you've been to the Shrine.
Yeah, that might be my favorite, those white lights and tell the Christmas lights. Account. Very
but
nice.
We'll save that for another time because what we need to talk about today, we're kind of wrapping up the Gospel of Mark this year. In fact, just a couple more weeks and it'll be gone and done. And those who are using the 3-year series will be doing Luke. And we'll be doing that. You going to do Luke this year, Matt?
Yeah, we are. Okay. So we follow that as well. And like you said, getting to the very end of the church year here.
And you have got something really exciting for us next week to finish off this church year about Wimpy Luther.
Yeah, so we've had Mean Jesus the past few weeks, right? Now, courtesy of John. And now we're going to take a look at Wimpy Luther.
All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to finish off Mark with one final story from the Gospel of Mark, and then next week, Wimpy Luther, and then who knows what happens as we go into the new church year. Matt, if you wouldn't mind looking up, you were telling me where it was. I can't find it. What is it? Chapter 12, is that what you said?
Yeah, so Mark chapter 12, last part of the chapter here, beginning with verse 41, right?
Yeah, well, actually, let's go back and start with verse 30. Oh, I can't read it. The print's too small. 38.
I don't think it's the print, John.
I need new glasses. Yes, verse 38. Because we got this kind of conclusion coming here. Jesus is going to be suffering and dying. And we have kind of a final comparison between two groups of people. And the challenge for everyone today is, which group do you fit into? So this is an audience participation, wrestling with the basics. We're going to share with you two groups of people, and you need to pick out which group do you belong to. So let's hear group number one, the scribes.
Group number one. And in his teaching said, beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation.
Okay, so that's group one. Group one is the scribes. By the way, what do you know? You know anything about the scribes? Anything? Did you preach on this text, Matt? Or?
No, I didn't. But okay. Scribes, so these, I guess we can lump together with among the Jewish religious leaders of the day. Certainly people that in general would have been pretty highly esteemed, at least by the Jews, by the people. And you hear Jesus coming along and he has some things to say that aren't very nice about the scribes.
Well, and let me say, at first I felt a little uncomfortable because I didn't think this is right of Jesus to talk about people behind their backs. Okay. But then as I looked over this, I don't think he's really talking about scribes in general. There are probably some pretty decent scribes. But by the way, do you know what a scribe did?
Oh, wrote stuff down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Isn't that incredible?
Copy the text.
Well, people didn't read and write in the days of Jesus. You know, so you actually had these people. In fact, I think they were the only ones that were really authorized to write down the holy vocables of God's word. And I really appreciate what you said, that we need to understand these are the leaders. These are the leaders. And yet, like you said, I've got distracted. easily done for me.
Holy cow.
So anyway, the point I was making, it's a little late for that. No, don't push it. We've heard the sound effect before. The point I was so making tempting. Is that he's not talking about scribes in general, but he's talking about a particular kind of scribe. And these are the kind of scribes that like what? What do they like? What did you say there, Matt?
They like attention. They like the pomp and circumstance here. Greetings in the marketplaces. Their long robes, the best seats.
And again,
places of honor.
We're not saying that's wrong. I mean, we should honor our leaders. These are leaders. Yeah, so we should say hi to them in the marketplace. And I think they probably do deserve places of honor. They're our leaders. But that's the problem. These people loved these things. That's why they wanted to be a leader, not to serve their people, but because of the perks and the honor and the glory that came with that. Not only the perks of honor, but what does he say they do with widows' houses?
They devour them.
So they were also using their position of authority to their financial advantage. An interesting thing is that the Jewish law did not allow them to get paid for their services. And these are kind of your legal consultants. Writ of divorce, right? Moses allows you to have a writ of divorce. You couldn't do a writ of divorce on your own. You had to get a scribe to do it for you because he's the guy that did the writing, sure, as you said. So I'm assuming they probably did estates and they did wills. And the fact that nobody could read or write probably gave them an opportunity to do all kinds of corrupt things. Even Jesus says devouring widows' houses. And then comes the last big insult about them. What's the last thing Jesus says about them? Well, beyond the condemnation.
Oh, yeah. And for a pretense, make long prayers.
And what does that mean, for a pretense?
Well, man, just as a show.
Yeah.
Know, again, like you've been pointing out, not that long prayers are bad in and of themselves, but yeah, just for a pretense, just for attention.
Well, our group number two is going to be the widow, and she's going to do something really, really wonderful for people. And I'm thinking if you're praying for somebody, the consequence, the fruit of that would be that you'd want to do something for them. But these people, as you said, they just do it as show. They're hypocrites. They like to make the long prayers, and at the same time, they're cheating people and devouring widows' houses. And of course, Jesus' big conclusion there is, where is that big conclusion,
Matt? Yeah, they will receive the greater condemnation.
Okay. So there you go. So we got these scribes and not much good to say about them. Again, not scribes in general. We're not saying anything. If you're a scribe out there, we're not. But but there are scribes.
We don't want to get phone calls from the scribes now.
Right. Oh, man, don't you hate that when you... So, but
because they write these long emails. They just go on and on and on.
That's right, the long emails. Exactly, Matt. Yeah.
Let's take it started.
Scribes.
Do people say hi to you in the marketplace, John, when
they
you do. Get in the marketplace?
Oh, good. Now I can tell you a quick story.
Oh, good, good.
Because, you know, just a few weeks ago we were talking, we were bemoaning. That's what we do. We whine a lot about how preachers don't get respect anymore like they used to. I'm pulled over by a officer of the police, and indeed probably deserved to be pulled over. A very respectful man. But I think as soon as he saw my collar, he said, well, I'm going to let you off here. I know you're probably doing something important. I'm going to give you a warning. But, you know, I am concerned. It was a rainy day. I just came from an accident, and he said. So I have to take it back. Apparently, there still is some respect given to us as clergy.
Is that right?
Yeah. But he was just a nice, super fellow, and I really appreciate that he did that. And I have been much more conscious of what I'm doing since then, honest to God.
Were you on official pastoral business?
I actually was. I was going to make a hospital call, okay, and I was running a little late, and I was kind of pressing a little bit. So anyway.
Well, I have a marketplace story. I was in the marketplace.
Oh, okay.
I went to Walmart, and one of our members, this is a few years back, saw me because a pastor.
Yep.
What are you doing at Walmart?
What, she thought you have minions to go do your shopping for you?
To shopping.
You would not lower yourself to Walmart? Yes, the minions are out sick today. I have to go do my own shopping. But this is a problem. And by the way, you know, we experience this problem. We see it all the time. We hear stories about clergymen who've got their hands in the till and whatever. And the world, of course, laughs and said, this is what Christianity is about.
Yep. It happens today.
But that's the point. Jesus is acknowledging this happens. In fact, that's what he says. Beware of these kind of scribes who are in it not for the service of people, but rather for the honor and for whatever money they can make out of it. So, dear world, please don't laugh at us. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew that there would be hypocrites in the church. What do you expect when you get a bunch of sinners together? There are going to be some hypocrites in there. It saddens us, but this is not what the church is about, because now Jesus is going to give us an illustration of what the church really is about. We acknowledge the hypocrites that are there. We are ashamed of that, but this is not truly what the church is about. Now you want to keep on reading?
Yeah, and when we hypocrites ourselves, myself included, then we repent of it.
No, let's not bring that up. Okay, Matt? Please. Okay? If you want to make these little confessions to me in private,
not,
but this is going out all
over
the air.
No, the cat's out of the bag.
Your point is
We're
well
not
made.
Perfect.
Your point is well made.
So that's group number one.
That's group number one.
So do we want to be a part? Okay, well, we better hear group number two
question,
first before
yeah.
we
make
that
decision. Do you
want
to be a scribe or do you want to be? Here's the group number two.
All right. Mark 12, verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people were putting in large sums.
Now, that's the group I actually want to be in. But so far, I've not been able to convince the Lord that this would be a good thing for me. Because I'm thinking, Lord, give me the wealth. See what a great guy I am.
Quit making things up.
And he keeps coming back and saying to me, John, you're not doing a very good job with what I've given you. Why would you think
would
you'd
I
do
give
any
you more?
Better if I gave you more? But anyway, no, that's not one of the groups. But we do have rich people, and they're given large amounts. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's quite all right. Okay, verse 42. And a poor widow came.
This is the second group now. Okay.
All right. The poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.
So, there you have it. That's group number two, this widow, this very generous widow. When you preach, Matt, do you preach about Jesus a lot? Do you ever bring him up?
I try to work him into the sermon. Of course. Yeah. Why else even preach? Preach Christ crucified and risen. You bet.
So that's our job as Lutherans. Such our, when Lutherans come to church, we want to hear about Jesus. That's what we want to hear about, not about stupid story. Why are we doing the show? Now I'm beginning to question our own existence here. But that was the problem, of course, with this text, is it didn't say a lot about Jesus. It talked a lot about widows, and it talked a lot about scribes.
Yeah.
Although it occurred to me, it does show us, you know, one really powerful thing about Jesus. How did Jesus know that this was a widow? How did he know that these were her last two copper coins? Did she have, like, the widow T-shirt on? Hey, I'm a widow. I've only got two coins left, you know? No, it's so bad. Answer my question, because,
well,
you know.
I think that's good, because that's a good point, because, you know, she most certainly did not make a show of it,
nope,
like a scribe would.
Yeah, that's right.
She really, if anything, is trying to keep this a secret, so it
go.
Seems.
Well, why wouldn't she? She only had two lousy copper coins.
Well, maybe she's even a little embarrassed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
Perhaps so.
Yeah.
But, well, I think it's a point well made that this is Jesus, who is the Son of God, after all, and he knows this woman just as he knows us.
Yeah, and the scary thing is he not only knows her situation, but he knows her heart.
Yeah.
He knows the motive behind the two coins. As you said, if anyone else saw it, they probably thought, what? Two coins? What's? Oh, well. But no, he knew. No, this was given with great generosity and great love. And by the way, I think you need to understand that the treasury of the temple was not just to pay for priests, but it was to pay for other widows and orphans and the poor. So this gal really, in her poverty, is giving generously as much as she could give to help other people who are also in situations of difficulty. And what a wonderful heart that Jesus sees within her. All right, so here's the question, Matt. Are you ready now for the big question? So which group does Matt fall into? Are you a scribe who keeps everything for themselves, or are you a widow who gives generously to others?
Oh, boy. That's tough, isn't it?
It's a tough question.
Yeah, we got to be honest with ourselves. You know, my prayer is that, of course, I'd be in that second group, that I'd be among the widow that gives her all. That would be my prayer. But the truth is, I'm probably a lot more scribe-like most of the time.
One of the great teachings of Scripture, and that's why I wanted to do this story to kind of wrap up the whole book of Mark, because I think this is what Mark has been trying to teach us from the beginning, is we are both. We really are both. I could use the Latin simile justus et peccator, but I have no idea what that means. But I know that Lutherans tend to say that in these situations. I think it has something to do about simultaneously being a saint and a sinner or something. I don't know.
Just showing off again, John. All right.
I really need to learn the meaning of these words. But yeah, that's the point. We are by nature scribes. Thank you for making that confession earlier, Matt, because yeah, I have to admit sometimes that I really do things because I kind of like people to greet me in the marketplace and tell me what a wonderful sermon I gave. And wow, wasn't that a really great show you did last Saturday, Pastor? And honestly, Matt, I kind of like being invited to be first in the potluck line. But I must confess, yeah, sometimes I think I do it for the honor and for the pride. And by the way, everyone listening out there, don't think you're any different. Seriously, think about a time you did something nice for somebody, and then they didn't show any appreciation. They didn't say thank you. And what happened? You got upset, didn't you? Because they didn't show it. Yeah, well, there you go. So really, were you doing it for them, or were you doing it kind of for yourself? But Matt, thank you for affirming that. I think the other part is true of us. I think the widow is true of us. Now, here's the question, though, the final question. What made the difference, you think, Matt? What was the difference between the scribe and the widow? We know it was different outwardly, but what made that difference?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. One of the things, you know, she gives one of the, I don't know if this is what you're alluding to, but yep. she gives her all. I think that's interesting.
Okay.
The word all comes up a bunch of times here. They all contribute out of their abundance. But she put everything, all she had to live on. You know, she gave her all.
Yeah, what a profound
realizing
saying.
That her all was from a gift from God.
Yeah, see, I think that's what it is. I think it was because of faith. Because I don't think you can give up all unless you realize, okay, God's still going to provide for me. He's the one that gave me what I got now. Mm-hmm. He'll see that I've got food on the table. He'll see that I have a roof over my head. Of course, the parallel lesson, those of you that do this lectionary kind of thing, we always have an Old Testament and a gospel, and they relate in some way. And the Old Testament lesson was about the widow of Zarephath. And again, God provided for her miraculously. Didn't have anything, just like the widow in our text. And yet God saw to it that had flour and oil, and it just never ran out, providing for her, providing for the prophet. Was it Elijah? Mm-hmm. I think it was Elijah. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a really instructional story, though, too, because that was the widow of Zarephath from Sidon. So she's not a good Jewish gal. She's not one of God's chosen people. And yet the Lord, the God of Israel, provides for her, too. And I think that's what we've got with this gal, too. She recognizes this, that God is a God of steadfast love, a God of mercy, who extended his blessings not only upon the proper children of Israel, but extends them upon all people, even Gentiles. In fact, did you catch what Mark refers to her? What kind of widow is she? Did you catch that? It's a little detail, but I think it's fascinating. He calls her a
poor widow.
Poor widow, which you were talking about the story of blind Bartimaeus that we did last week, or 2 weeks ago. That's the same word that was used of him. He was a poor blind man. And as we talked about, poor is the biblical word for the beggarly poor. Can't do anything on their own. Totally dependent upon someone else. And that is the definition of faith, isn't it, Matt? The realization, we got nothing, yeah. We can do nothing, but we got this wonderful, gracious Lord who will give us all things. And it's from that faith, then, that the generosity flows, right? In fact, that's how the Bible always talks about good works. It's always the fruit of faith. You got a good tree, righteous by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and from a good tree, you always get good fruit. So there you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it.
And we know this story. So when we hear these two groups, well, yeah, of course, I'm with the widow. You know, she's the positive example here. But for the disciples especially, I'm thinking that as they hear and see this for the very first time, they probably want to be with the scribes or at the very least the other rich people. And especially this idea that if someone's rich, then God must have special favor for them, really blessing them. And this poor lady, maybe she's been forgotten by God. But she in her poverty realizes, no, that's not the case. I haven't been forgotten by God. And as you pointed out, this act of trust and faith that God, the same God who's provided for daily bread every day up until now, is going to provide for her even in her charity and poverty.
And you know, that was the other lesson that I got out of this. Because, you know, I begin by saying, well, there's not a lot about Jesus in here. Well, of course, he's powerful. He knows all things. But I think you're right. That's exactly the other lesson we get out of this. Jesus is watching over the widows. Now, if we got rich people out there, God loves you. But, you know, you got no promises when you're rich. There's no promises given to people who are rich and powerful and in control. But you're right, to people like this widow, people that are struggling, people that have doubts even, no, there's this beautiful promise that God says, I'm going to make everything work together for your good. You are not out of my eyesight. I am watching over you, loving and caring for you. Because as you pointed out earlier, the glory and the love of God is a hidden thing. It's not always seen mm-hmm. in the things that are going around the world. But it is known to us through what Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross. So anyway, that's a good way to wrap this up.
Yeah, I like that conclusion of the cross because there, you know, this widow who gave her all there at the cross, Jesus gives his all.
There you go. That's the point, isn't it? And that's the context of all these stories in Mark about the Lord Jesus Christ, who goes, by the way, for both scribes and for widows, giving up his life so that their sins can be forgiven and that they can have faith and a God of steadfast love and mercy. Thank you, Matt. Next week.
Next week we're going to take a look at Wimpy Luther.
Wimpy Luther.
Wimpy Luther. I have to unpack that a little bit. But we'll until then, God's blessings, and we'll see you next week on Wrestling with the Basics.